Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Kamda!
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
To Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. And I have to say, we're here with, you know, I'm the host, Judy Gold, and then is on the boards and kind of co-hosting.
He's pretty hot.
And Chemda, who's married to Mark. So mazel tov on the marriage. And we are in the Keith and the Girl studios. Chemda is kind enough to let me...
Judy, it's an honor.
I mean, I really appreciate that you let me use the facilities.
It's amazing that you're even here.
Yeah,
she's the girl of Keith and the Girl podcast.
Thank
correct?
You. Yes.
I'm sorry. It happens a lot. Like,
I'm sorry.
I'm talking, and then I hear someone who's like listening.
I know our
somewhere
neighbor.
Else.
He's like so nosy. It's, you know, he stops by and tries to have sex with us. It's weird. It's very weird.
So, yeah. Chemda, your last name is Khalil.
it's spelled Khalili, but it's actually Khalili.
Khalili. Yeah. Of course, you marry someone from Hawaii because it's Khalili. Right. It sounds like Hawaiian.
She doesn't really use her last name.
Da-da-ba-ba-ba.
Actually, her last name is now Hennessy.
Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. So,
I gotta record your chimes because I think it makes our neighbor go away. So,
good.
I'm gonna use that like an alarm.
So,
it's Chemda Hennessy.
So Chemda,
he has control issues.
She's mine now.
Shut up. Sheket Bavakasha.
Hey.
So Chemda, thank you so much for being on my fourth show.
Thanks for having me.
I am a big fan, and actually I'm in a show, Clinton the Musical.
I'm coming to see it.
It's so fucking fun. Yeah. I play Eleanor Roosevelt and Linda Tripp, and, a wig person is obsessed with you.
I love that.
She is
a wig person who, like, all I'm thinking is they're going to scalp me.
No. She's really a wardrobe person, but was hired to do the wigs to work on the show.
I would love to meet her.
And she's obsessed. She's straight, obsessed with you.
Yay.
And I think the sound person is also obsessed with you.
Yay.
So you'll have to wait after and
I'll pretend like I'm waiting for you, but that'd be great. Yeah.
In our audience today, we have the incredible Mara Wilson.
Amazing. I'm also a huge fan of Mara.
I am too.
Watching the last show. And yes, it is that kind of feminism that speaks out and is clear about it and, mm-hmm. and knows what side she's on and is not afraid to
show
it.
She's a real person.
Yeah, exactly.
Real person and not afraid to show it.
Exactly.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
And we have Lawrence. High school friend. What's your name?
Nathaniel.
That's right. I love the name Nathaniel. Nathaniel, who's an improv guy. Yeah.
That's right. His improv troupe
is what?
Pen 15 Club.
Pen 15 Club. Now, Nathaniel, just one last question. What was Lauren like in high school?
Come here, Nathaniel.
No. I just, wait.
Come to the mic.
Speaking. Oh, because if we're talking about Lauren, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. like a little like Dennis the Menace kind of punk.
Did you know that Lauren was a guy? Or when did you realize Lauren was a guy?
I mean, when he told me, I was like, oh, yeah. But I guess I didn't realize it.
Okay. And how did Lauren do in school with schoolwork?
Copied from me. All math homework. Copied all my math homework.
He still copies math homework from me. Yeah.
So not a great student.
Great in like we were in drama club together.
Right.
But not.
Okay.
Not
that's what
so.
I. Yeah.
English.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
I think I might be referring to you again for some more information. Sure. Khemda, I love you.
I love you too.
You originated pretty much the podcast format.
We started when it wasn't really a thing.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like me being
perfect
out, you know, when it wasn't like, oh, my name's Robin Roberts and it's 2014. so I'll come out. So, I mean, I love when they come out. I know. Yes. It's just the whole, the other thing I can't, this is a kill me now, by the way. So I have to talk about what annoys me. The other thing, like you said, brave, every time there's a fucking award show, like the speeches,
they're brave for
being
brave, fat.
They're brave. Show brave, for playing a gay man. But that's not brave. The fucking people in Afghanistan with no arms are fucking brave. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They were so brave for doing their job.
Ding dong. So, it's just, the word brave is very overused.
You know what? When I was younger, you know, there were a lot more gay jokes flying around, a lot of more stereotypical stuff. And I grew up in New York. And so, you know, it's not like people were really out, but they were probably more out than other states.
Right.
And,
San Francisco.
Well, sure. But, you know, all I knew was New York because there was no internet. Right. But, what happened was then, you know, you would meet a gay person and then you see people's bias coming out. And I was floored. I was like, no, we were kidding. Oh my God. You were serious.
Right.
I had no idea.
You know, you were born in Tel Aviv.
In the hospital in Tel Aviv. Yeah. I lived in Hulon and Ramat Gan.
Say it again. Can someone get my little vibrator out?
No, get the big
say
one.
Say it again.
I'm
going
to say it longer.
Say it again.
Here you go, boss.
Say it again. Okay, go.
Hulon v'Ramat Gan. Zeh yofi, toda rabba. Zeh mamash.
Okay, so... I love it.
I'm having such a crazy moment right now.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
care,
like turned on
care,
and off
care,
at
care,
the same
care. So, Khemda, you are a
tell
you're
me
a
what
singer.
I am.
You're a singer. You're a performer. You're a singer, dancer. You did a lot of performing.
Yeah, I did. I didn't think that it would go that way. You know, you see Madonna and you're like, she must not have parents. She just does things the way she wants to do them.
Right.
She touches her crotch like on stage. So I thought you had to be.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I thought you had to be more eccentric. And it turns out I'm the most eccentric person that your average person will meet. And I had no idea.
Right. Because again, like Mara Wilson, honest, not putting on a fucking show for anyone. But the point is that this is a kill me now moment. About Madonna. The point about Madonna is that you know, you say she's, you know, this fearless.
Yeah.
She went to Hamilton. Did you hear this? The other night, she went to see Hamilton, the musical.
Oh, yes. Great.
And was on her phone texting the entire time. On the fucking phone. Now, for everyone listening, when you are a performer and you are on a stage, even though you think no one sees you text, there the light is so bright, and I hate you. I fucking hate you.
I'm
anyway.
So distracted by you. All I see is your crotch lit up.
Right, and it's like in your face. You know. So anyway, so she's texting the whole time. So Lynn Manuel.
I was taking pictures of Julia Murney all during your show.
You are?
Just like from the side.
Okay, bye. So, Lynn Manuel at the end of the show says, you know, Madonna's not coming back for a cast photo. And then they did the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS speech they do at a lot of the shows to raise money.
Yeah.
And he said, and there's someone, I don't know the exact quote, but something about there's someone in the audience who was a celebrity who was texting the entire show. And I know she could make a very big donation to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS since she has so much money.
Someone said this to her?
Lynn.
On stage.
Listen.
While she was. Yeah, I am. I am. It's just like amazing.
And that's what he said at the end of the speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Called her out. That's so rude, especially for a performer.
Absolutely.
So did she...
I don't know.
Here's what I think.
Why don't you do some research while I'm talking to Chemda?
I think Madonna lately, and she was known for this throughout her career, just trying to get attention. But, you know, when you look at the work, it's not just trying to get attention. She really was always putting out a message. But now I feel like she's making out with this guy.
I know. It's
she's
like
texting.
Just go. Go. You don't have.
Go be a legend.
Right.
Time
exactly.
out.
Right.
She's
time like,
out.
Yeah.
You still can have integrity and class, you know, and... I don't know. It's like, whatever.
It's kind of uncharacteristic because she highly believed in being an artist and you know, true to form and respecting, paying for watching something that entertains
you. You know, when she was on Rosie.
Oh, God, I loved those moments because they were true friends.
Well, she.
I did too. Yeah.
So I got finished with my story. When she was on Rosie, and Lourdes was born. All the papers had said, "Oh, you know, Madonna's going to come on the show with Lourdes, the baby," and so, which she wasn't planning on doing. So the Andy Lassner, who's now the EP of Ellen, says to me because I was working. Listen, because Henry and Lourdes were born like a few days apart.
Oh wow!
Says, listen, they all think. You know, Lourdes is coming on the show. So why don't we have Henry come in and she'll bring Henry out. And then at one point, Rosie will be like, you know, the baby's cute, but it's not yours. Right. So Sharon, my ex, I said, okay.
You mean Schwendy?
Schwendy. Sorry. Schwendy brings Henry. It's swaddled. And I swear to God, the paparazzi almost killed them. They were so all over them trying to get in the elevator, like awful. And then Schwendy's backstage with Madonna and Madonna's
breastfeeding
like,
Madonna's baby.
Yeah. And Madonna's like, oh, he's so cute. But they made it believe he was a girl. And what is he like? And he does. He loved when I sang to him. So she starts singing to him and he starts crying. And then she brings him out and he's so cute. Oh, he's just the fucking, and it was on the New York Post. It was like a big cover of, you know, baby O. Henry and stuff.
And you have a picture.
Yeah. And she was holding and she's like, yeah, it's cute. And people are going crazy. And then Rosie's like, but that's not your kid.
Do you think the first sign was that she said, it's cute?
She's cute. He said, she said she's cute and it's a boy. Anyway, you're annoying. So anyway, we're with Chemda.
Apparently.
Co-host of Keith and the Girl. And you have another podcast you do?
What's My Name?
What's My Name? And, we're in the Keith and the Girl studios in Astoria and Mara Wilson is sitting on the couch enjoying and Nathaniel
Lawrence,
a friend from high school is here. And, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, Chemda, her life. Chemda recently had a big issue with her mother. She's a Jew. and we worked it out together, which was lovely. I enjoyed it. And I thought, why not start the show, even though we've been talking for 25 minutes already, calling my mother.
Yeah, okay.
Would you like to, you know, she's 92. I don't know how much longer we'll call her. But, you know, I just wanted to say hi and, you know.
I can't call my mother, so this is.
Right,
this is
you're not really talking to your mother, so we can talk to my mother.
Yeah.
Here she is. She'll, hello!
And she's in the home now, right?
Hello?
Hi, mother.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, we're doing the podcast. Well, it's like a radio show. I can't go into it.
Yeah.
And so my friend Chemda is my guest. She was born in Tel Aviv.
Right.
And she doesn't talk to her mother because she's mad at her mother.
Oh, that's terrible.
Why? Why? Her mother's not nice to her.
You have to talk to the mother.
Why?
Right, go ahead.
Why?
I don't know why.
Okay. okay. What was that? Are you eating?
What was what?
Oh, I thought you like spit or something. All right. So, my friend Mara Wilson is here. She played Matilda in the Matilda movie, and she was in Mrs. Doubtfire, and her mother died when she was 8, and she's here too. So we're all having mother issues.
What's your issue?
good question.
That's Lauren. You met Lauren. I don't have no issues, Ma. You were.
I'm perfect.
Yes, you are perfect. You are a perfect mother.
What do you think of Judy?
You have to call me Judith.
What do you think of Judith?
That's beside the point. That's another issue.
Ma, I come there, I visit you, I do the New York Times crossword puzzle, you yell at me, I bring you food, you tell me it's shitty. I mean...
You yell at me.
Right now, who's yelling, Judith?
I had a good
time. I think they both are.
I mean, I yell at you. Your mother is supposed to yell at you.
She is?
Yes, you're not supposed to be perfect.
Oh, all right.
What was the biggest degenerate thing that Judith did? Like, what did you have the most trouble with? Was she a picky eater?
No.
Stubborn.
I'm stubborn?
No, stubborn. No. That's a good one. That's
like
a good one.
Like how? How was I stubborn?
Very.
How? What did I do that was stubborn?
I don't know. I have somebody here.
Who's there?
I can't talk out loud.
Who's there?
She's taking my food.
Oh. Did you eat anything?
I don't want to leave it there.
Did you eat anything?
Not yet.
What is it?
You're interrupting this egg. It's,
no, you can eat it. I'm not going to take it if you eat it.
Leave it here. I don't know if I'll eat it, but leave it here.
Can you say thank you to her?
I'll say it when she comes back.
Oh, God. This is Ma. All right. So can you just give me one instance where I was stubborn and it was annoying?
How about this one where you need to know how you were being stubborn?
Yeah, I need to know how I'm stubborn.
Was she late for everything?
Was she late?
For everything. You know how she does now.
For everything.
I know, I was always late. What is
everything
that?
Everything, she OCD. Was never on time.
I'm late too.
Me all too. Right.
What do you think?
And I'm very prompt.
Yeah, we went to we went to Uncle Emil's funeral, and we were there before the body had arrived. We were in
so
the-
So what?
All right.
I was there at least, I was there on time.
Okay, that's great.
If you had to change something about Judith, what would it be?
If I have to change something
about me, what would it be?
One thing?
Yeah.
Just one.
That's nice, Ma.
How can you ask me one thing?
Okay, you can say like two or three.
All right, say, what would you change about me?
She's the most perfect daughter.
Say?
I will have to say one thing.
What?
She's the most attentive. She's the most,
What's the nice word?
Interested.
Mm-hmm. She's very intuitive. Oh, that's a big word.
Ma, I have to
I don't know if I know what it means.
I know. You're very... she still does the New York Times crossword puzzle with me.
That's amazing.
And gets more answers than I do.
I can never even finish a quarter of it.
Well, the Monday, Tuesday are good.
Okay.
Then Wednesday, I feel like a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Ma, you used to do the Sunday one, right?
The Sunday. What, the Sunday puzzle?
Yeah, you used to do the Sunday puzzle.
Did I get it every day?
No, you would do the Sunday would only be once a week, Ma.
I know, but you say I used to do the Sunday puzzle. Well, did I get it the other day?
Did she win?
No, we did the Monday puzzle the other day.
Oh, okay.
I'll bring the Sunday puzzle. I don't get any of them.
Oh, I'll bring it.
All right.
I didn't finish any yet.
All right. All right.
So what's new?
Nothing. I'm doing the podcast. I have a show tonight, and then I'm doing stand-up after the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to stay out so late.
Yes, I am.
Tell her, Mom.
11:30 is your
It
curfew.
Is?
I know, right? It's ridiculous. She stays out until 1, 2 in the morning. What is she doing out there? What could possibly be working for you, Judith, out there at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning lady in this city?
Yes. Ma, I'm so big. No one's going to attack me.
I'll get her home, Auntie. Don't worry.
Auntie?
It's a Hawaiian thing.
Why?
One last thing, and then I'll call you for next time we tape for some more insight. First of all, any advice to Chemda who does not talk to her mother because her mother doesn't accept her quote-unquote lifestyle? Go.
Well, listen to me.
Okay.
Her mother may not like her lifestyle, but she has to compromise.
The mother?
No.
No, she may. No, you have to give it to your mother.
No, you don't. Not if they're mean.
What do you mean she's mean?
She's horrible and mean and says awful things, so she should not subject herself to that.
She doesn't like her lifestyle?
Yes, quote unquote. You love my lifestyle, right? Ma, you've been accepting of me in your own little way.
I accept it.
Right, you accept it.
Correct.
So?
Well, her mother will have to accept it a little.
Right, there you go.
She'll have to compromise.
Yes, so the mother has to compromise.
Yeah, but they both have to compromise.
No, all right.
No.
Well, the thing is, there's already compromise on Chemda's part.
Yeah,
there's
Chemda
no compromise
has compromised. Yes.
On the mother's
and
part.
The mother,
what?
Chemda has tried and reached out and tried to compromise, and the mother will not accept it.
I'd like to throw my dad under the bus here as well. They are both equally.
The mother will not give in to anything?
No, her mother and father will not give in to anything.
Well, that's a lost cause.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Auntie.
See, Ma, you're very smart. Let me just ask one last thing. Who's your favorite?
Any other questions?
Okay.
good answer, Ma.
All right. So I will be calling you next week when we're recording, because you're an excellent guest.
That was a recording?
Yes, you're on the radio, Ma.
Oh, my God.
Haven't you learned by now?
Ma, I have to record everything, and you can't die, because I will have no career.
That's true.
What kind of a remark is that to make?
I'm just letting you know. I want you to take care of yourself.
Okay.
And I want you to come to my show, where I play Eleanor Roosevelt and Linda Tripp.
All right. Maybe I could take your place if something happens.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. All right. Opportunity.
All right. Mother, thank you. I love you very much.
Oh, you doll.
Okay. She can't say I love you, but that's fine. I accept that. All right.
You're just too cute for words.
Oh, thanks, Ma.
That's a thing. Chemda can't either.
I know.
I'm just joking. She does.
All right.
Nothing else?
No, I'll call you later.
Okay.
All right. So long. Oh.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Okay, that was my 92-year-old mother.
She's so funny.
She's so funny.
She's sharp. She's sharp.
Yeah.
She always pulls it for the any kind of media.
That's
so
great.
She's but you know, on it. Look. So your mother is how old?
They're very young. How old am I? They're like in the early 60s.
In their early 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay. My mother's 92.
Yeah,
and
is your mother? But is your mother Middle Eastern?
No, my mother's not. It doesn't. Fuck that shit.
Look, my father's born and raised in Iran. The president came over here and said there's no such thing as the phenomenon of gay.
But you know what? He's a parent. He has he doesn't need the president of Iran to think for him.
I understand.
You know,
that.
It's like you're born and you're born. This is what I was thinking last night. You're born, right? And you're born in a certain country. It doesn't mean you have to think.
Of course not.
Like, you know, you're their daughter, their only daughter. You know, you're happy. You're a success.
They don't call this
beautiful.
A success.
Well, too fucking bad.
I know.
They're miserable. Your mother is a miserable human being. So, I'm sorry. Maybe if she really followed her dream and realized who she was really attracted to, maybe then. No, I'm just, I don't know your mother, so I shouldn't say that. But, you know, it really pisses me off that, you know.
Yeah, but this is not, you know, because of a relationship status or because of one thing in my life.
Right.
This has been an ongoing thing.
Right.
It's been about my weight when I was, you know, thinner than this. It's been about any life choice. Name it, my career path, my mother says things like, your boyfriend doesn't mind you going out at night without him. Like, that's so slutty to them. When I was a teenager, my dad didn't let me go to the, you know, pool hall, which is like the local, like, there's nothing else for me to do. That's
where
everyone's going.
Wait, where was the pool hall?
Forest Hills.
Okay, let me just say something. They decide that they're going to live in America in one of the most liberal places in the United States.
Yeah.
And yet they're going to keep their minds closed.
Yes, because when you don't know how children come out okay, like if you don't know an alternative, you think that you're saving your child's life. So if you think that in order to keep a child away from harm and away from whatever, that you do everything for them and that you think for them and that you lead them down the path, whether they're 20, 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, then that's what you know. And if you deviate from that, you might fuck up the only thing that you've ever wanted in your life, which was successful, happy children.
But you're a successful, happy child.
They're distracted with their goals. So what happens is my brother just had a baby. It's their first grandkid.
Right.
And advice that his best friend said is treat your baby like he's adopted so that you don't anticipate him being like you or like mom or like grandma or like whoever, so that you wait for that child to tell you who that person is and you're not waiting for this, well, that's just like daddy, that's just like mommy, that's just like whoever.
I never do that. I mean, I have Henry I adopted because Schwendi had Henry and then I did second pair, and Ben I had biologically.
But you could still compare to
the parent. I do say, oh my God, that is so me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Henry, we always talk like, because I have nature versus nurture in my house.
Right.
Really, truly. And Henry's so much like me. And he's always like, why do I do this like mama? You know, it's like we talk about, but they're adult. They're, you know, I don't ever say.
But I've seen you talk to your children and you talk to them like they're actual human beings. It's absolutely incredible. And you could see their personality, where if you saw me at 13, my personality was muted.
Right.
It was turned down so that I can behave.
Ugh. Awful.
Yeah. It's child abuse.
It's not child abuse.
Oh, God, Lauren.
It's not child abuse.
It's a way of thinking.
Okay, can you be abused when you're an adult as a child?
Yes.
Okay, well, what she's experiencing now is child abuse.
Well, it's verbal abuse. And
it's neglect.
It's sad, is what it is.
And, it is sad.
I tried to tell you, you're not responsible for your parents' happiness. And you are they created an individual and you're not obligated to think like them or to agree with them. They created a human being and they honestly, knowing what I know about them, they did a fucking amazing job.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're an amazing person.
Thank you.
And come on, let's go. And they did a fucking, you know, look at what is around you, love and admiration and respect.
I had a tremendous upbringing. I can't really complain about my upbringing.
Okay. Well, you know what? Now you're an adult.
Yeah. It's different.
And they don't have anyone to like control.
Yeah.
So they, you know, why don't they work on themselves? You know, why are they focused on you?
How scary is that?
To work on yourself.
Yeah. It's very, very scary.
Right. So if they don't want to work on themselves, it's their fucking loss. Now, do they like the grandchild?
Yeah, you know, my brother's, wife converted to Judaism.
Oh, so is that the perfect?
It's, I mean, they are, first of all, they're two incredible people. The child is amazing. Right. If you don't like this family, I don't know.
No. I mean, are your parents okay with
that?
Yeah,
they are. Yeah. I mean, they wanted a grandkid. My mother is like, look how old I am. How come I don't have a grandkid?
And it's all about her. It's all about her. Everything is about her.
Even my dad though. Yeah.
Right. It's a fucking narcissism. And you know what? Because if they didn't think about themselves, they'd actually have to think about something else that might scare them. So I'm telling you now, you wrote a letter to your mother.
You wrote a letter to my mother.
Right.
Yeah. I sent this letter out about a week before my wedding. Like I said, it's not just about the wedding. I did marry same-sex transgender male, but they don't know that whole history. It's about, you know, what does a podcaster do? A woman doesn't tell jokes like that. She doesn't say fuck. She doesn't do drugs.
God, they would love me.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I think my dad would adore you. My mother would have a great time because you're not me and you're not their seed.
Right.
So they could recognize how funny you are.
But they don't control you. You're not a reflect. They're acting as if you're the reflection of them. They're the reflection of them. And if you are the reflection of them, they fucking come out smelling like roses.
They don't think
so. Okay, so you wrote the letter.
Well, okay, so I had a breakdown right before a show. It was literally like, you know, on-air sign was on. We already did the mic check. We were about to go on, and I get a text from my brother saying, Mom didn't know your wedding was next week. She's really upset because she bought a dress.
But she didn't know?
There's
right.
I told my mother I was engaged a year and a half before. She told me to keep it off social media and not to tell anyone. And I was like, you can deal with that on your side to not tell anyone, but I'm going to tell whoever I want.
Right.
And so, you know, my wedding is coming up. The wedding was next week. And I said to my brother, your mother's a cunt.
Right.
And she's lying.
What does that mean exactly?
It means I'm going to see her next Tuesday.
Right.
And I said, you know, this is the first because she's actually, I think, lying about this. There's no way my mother got a dress for the wedding. She's not the kind of person that would just get any dress. She would ask me about coloring. She would talk to me about my dress. She didn't even bother. So she hasn't talked to me in a while. So I said, she's lying, blah, blah, blah. But I was about to cry because I'm like, what kind of, you know, and I'm about to go on air. I'm supposed to be funny. And she just... And I did fine, but I couldn't believe the next level shit. So I called Lauren immediately after. Lauren was at your place and he goes, can I put you on speaker? And I'm like, oh, I'm fucking going to get it from Judy. I know because I know he's at your place. So I get put on speaker and I'm like, my mother. And I was like, fuck it. Judy's going to know everything. My mother.
It was
she's
perfect.
Doing-
I had to put you on. There's nothing I could say in this situation to help really.
So I didn't give it to you.
What? Well, I said, my mother, she's doing this thing. And I hear Judy, give me the phone. Give me the phone.
Yeah. Oh, she was rocking back and forth in her seat, trying to listen and be patient. And finally, she's just like,
patient. I got through one sentence and you get on the phone and go, what is going on?
That was great. That was great.
No way. You are an adult. Write this down. Do you have a fucking pen? Write it down. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Where's the pen? I swear to God, I think I was either writing in crayon or some broken pencil. And I'm just like,
shock.
There's going to be a test after this. I know it. And so you told me to write the three sentences and I think we were on the phone for a half an hour. I cried some of it because, you know, you told me
it was an hour.
You told me about your personal experience, about how your mother dealt with it. And, you know, we talked about this whole thing and I felt really incredible that you would take the time to do that. I sent you the letter because you said you have to approve it.
Right.
You told me I don't know how to write letters.
I do this for everyone.
You rewrote it for me.
Because people put in information that is going to trigger a reaction.
Right.
And that's what you don't want. You want to explain. And it's this whole method of writing, but it's like, you know, explaining and asking and reinforcing, you know, and they really, there's nothing they can say. Right. Did your mother ever respond?
No, which I forget about sometimes. And then sometimes it hits me and I'm like, wow, they really died before they died. They killed me.
They didn't do anything.
I know, but.
I know it's your mother. I know it's your mother.
It's just that I'm right there right now. So I'll be better like in 2 days. And I was better 2 days ago.
Right.
But yesterday I broke down about it.
But that's okay.
I know.
You're allowed to have feelings about it.
You're mourning.
Right. But look at Mara. Mara lost her mother at 8.
I would I hate to say this in front of somebody who lost their mother, but I wish they died instead of this. I can't believe I just said that.
No, it's painful because then that they're there and then they're relishing in this grandchild and you're a piece of shit. But you know what? You're not a piece of shit, but you know what I mean? You feel like a piece of shit. But you know what? At some point, you have to realize that you don't need their approval and you don't need you. And even though, I mean, look, even people in jail call for their mommies and stuff, you know, but.
Oh, I do this terrible thing when I don't even realize, but Lauren pointed out when I'm just fucked up and on the floor in pain or whatever, I say Ema.
If she gets really scared, her first response is Ema, which is
Ema like, is Hebrew. Say it again. Say it again. Mommy. Say, but say it again.
Ema. Ema. All right. But we were never that close. I'm not calling out for my mother. I know my mother's not going to comfort me.
You just want a mother.
Yeah. Here's an example of my mother comforting me. She calls me up. She always calls me. Well, she used to. She always called me up. What do you need? What do you want? I always say nothing. How's everything? I always say great.
Right.
Because what am I going to tell you? You don't know what I do for a living because you don't want to know. You don't know what I do in life because you don't want to know. So you don't know any of my friends. I can't talk to you about that. You don't know what I do every day for a living. So I can't talk to you about that.
Right.
You don't want to know who I'm dating because you hate it. Right. So I ran out of shit. Everything's fine. One time I was in the middle of this fucking craziness in my life where everything was actually terrible. So I go, Mom, you know, I'm actually having a hard time.
Uh-huh.
It's fine, but I'm just struggling with a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Really, it was that gentle. We hang up the phone shortly after. She calls me back. I'm in Trader Joe's during this. Mm-hmm. She calls me back a minute later. She goes, I'm not going to be able to sleep. You have to make me feel better about your life.
It's all about her. But when are you going to realize you had a narcissistic mother?
I did realize.
Right. And you're not like me. Like my mother's like, you're attentive and you're, I took on her depression. I took on, you know, making her happy. You know, like that was my thing. That's why I'm a comic. I had a depressed mother. Well, among other things, but you know, and all I wanted to do was to make her feel better. And I'm never going to make her. She's the only one that can make herself feel. What is your does your mother have a job?
No.
Right. Did she ever have a job?
Only to help my dad.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's incomplete. And she doesn't want to complete herself, but that's not your responsibility.
And I didn't take it on as my responsibility.
Right. So, you know, you can say, Ma.
It's only that emotional. Listen, it's if I took on that responsibility, I would not date any of the men that I dated. I would not do any of the work that I did. I would not say any of the stuff that I do. And
there's still Ema in the back
because
saying,
still,
you know, this is, you're not good. You're not good enough. You're not good. And when you fucking get rid of that and realize that's her, that, you know, she had a daughter. She identifies with you because you're the female and she never did anything with her fucking life. And here she is, this daughter who's free thinking, who's, you know, a trendsetter, who is
talented. She hates all of these words.
Well,
hates them. Trendsetter.
Right, so,
my dad actually said, I don't need any pioneers of this shit
bad.
In my life.
Yeah. So what?
I don't need any pioneers.
All right, think about what the world would be like without fucking trendsetters and pioneers.
I can't.
And fuck that shit. That is the way they think. You're not responsible for the way they think. You're not responsible for making them happy or proud. You know, there's going to be a point where she's like, oh my God, I fucking wasted so much time.
There's not going to be that point. And,
okay.
And everyone tells me that. There's going to be a point or when they die, you'll regret it.
No, it's not.
I don't
you'll
care.
Regret it. You're not. Why would you?
I
you
can't,
have done
I can't,
nothing wrong.
I can't. Live my life waiting to regret
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. But no, you don't need to regret. You have nothing to regret. You have been incredible. You have been incredible.
Thank you.
And you've actually laid your heart out. They're limited.
It's the only way to live.
You need to just understand that they're limited.
This is the only way to live. Even if I wanted to please them, my physical self can't. I can't.
You can't emotional.
No.
Like, if you were sitting around, you would not be successful at the podcast.
No.
You would not be a great performer. You would not have the fucking wig girl
perform.
at my show going, oh my God, oh my God. Okay? This is who, love yourself. You don't
I do.
Need
I really,
them to love you. They love you on their the way they can.
They love me. They just don't like me.
So she gets off on being unhappy. That's the thing.
Right. They love that.
A little bit.
It's like your grandmother.
Yeah. My grandmother. Can I?
Yeah. Mara Wilson here.
here. She is an MSW, CSW, a certified social worker.
I mean, I do have
She's
that.
She's a Jew. That's all.
Yeah, right.
I have oh my God, this is my fantasy.
I do have the soothing counselor voice.
No, there are people who are
or
who
my
are,
nightmare.
Right. There are people who are used to being unhappy and they're used to not being pleased. And the thing is, you can't please them because you can't please them because they don't want to be pleased.
Well, they believe that hard work.
Well, that's all they only know. Is being. Yeah. You know, do you know what, like, all right, so if I had a drag name, it would be anhedonia, because anhedonia is a disease where you get no pleasure at, you get no pleasure, nothing makes you happy.
Yeah.
Your mother has anhedonia.
Yeah. And I would like to just defend them for a second, because they come from, their parents are from, my mother's parents are from Iraq, born and raised. My mother did not know how to read or write. Mm-hmm. My father was born and raised in Iran. Mm-hmm. They moved to Israel. They moved to America. Mm-hmm. They softened up. My dad would be terrified of his dad. And even though I was somewhat scared of my dad, there's like a more gentle aspect of them. So in a lot of ways, they are the pioneers of
and
their
that's,
family.
That's great. But let me tell you something. My friend Leslie's mother survived the Holocaust in a barn in Poland with, I think there were 11 other people. The only light they had for 2 years was through the slats. They were freezing. Her mother wore the same clothes for 2 years. They had a bucket in the middle of this one room.
You would think the Nazis would find them on the smell alone.
Yeah, and they would get food. It was on a farm. It was a Polish farmer. And they would get food from him. And her mother is nice to her. Okay? Her mother is lovely and accepts her for who she is. You cannot tell me. People overcome so much stuff. You know, sexual abuse. You know, just so much stuff.
Yeah, I have nothing to overcome. Except
I'm not talking about you. It's not about you. Now you're turning into your mother. It's about your parents. About your parents. You know, this is the world. If they are not willing to say, oh my God, this is the world, I want to learn more about it and be a part of it, then that's their problem. It's their loss.
I better be on the show again when I could be funny.
You're funny. I don't know. We talk to my mother and we all have mother. Everyone here has mother issues.
Yeah.
For
no,
Lauren.
This is a great show.
But it's like, it's the mother. We have to call this the mother issue show. I mean, like Mara, come on. And then she gets this stepmother who like wants her to be Catholic.
Yeah. And well, I mean, I also understand the super, you know, the immigrant, the religious immigrant thing.
Right.
My stepmother is, you know, from the Philippines and she's very Catholic. And honestly, the thing that helped her the most was getting dogs.
Right.
Because now she has pets that she can take care of and love. And it's soothing to her.
I was thinking that when you're, do they have a pet?
No.
Because they would have to focus on the pet.
I think I realized now that my mother has OCD. Yeah, and she can't have that. She's like, oh, we moved back to Israel and there's so much dust here. I have to mop the floor every morning.
So your mother has OCD, anhedonia. What else does she have?
Sounds like a personality disorder, honestly.
She is a flawed person. You have to accept that. Yeah. We're all flawed. And you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. You are who you are, and that's great.
And they are sweet. Your mother is sweet, and she has, I've seen her smile, and I've seen her be genuine, but she has locked herself up.
It's not about you. It's about her.
And it's probably her defense mechanism is being closed-minded because she's afraid.
Definitely.
She's had so much, you know, she's had change and upheaval in her life. So what has she done? I mean, to some degree, I understand shutting yourself in against them. I'm very risk averse, you know, but there's a difference between being risk averse and not opening your mind to anything. That's the thing. She's afraid. It's because she's afraid.
It's fear.
She's this afraid person. And you know what? That's sad. But at some point you have to be like, look, grow the fuck up and get over your fears.
Right. So the fear
I can face my fears.
Well,
you
have a show about fears. But listen, fears are fabricated stuff in your head.
Yep.
You're not all I have to say is you're not responsible for your parents and you better fucking get over it. Now,
welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only,
Ms. Judy Gold.
Kemda, I have to say that you let me use your studio. And
it's my pleasure.
I want to thank you for that. Tell me about... Wait, are you telling me we have to wrap up?
Yeah.
Too bad. So, Kemda, what pisses you off? What pisses you off the most?
What pisses... I have, like, you know, I... And maybe it's good that I'm going to go completely on the dumb side. What pisses me off is how much I like Starbucks. I have this one coffee that they make absolutely perfect.
What is it?
Ugh, medium soy latte. It has to be medium. And when they run out of those fucking medium cups and put it in a large cup, I get really upset because the ratio of air to coffee.
Yeah, I know. I always tell them to put stuff in a different... But it depends on the barista, too. Some of them don't steam the milk right.
Yes. But I feel like a piece of shit every time I'm in there. I feel like people are looking at me like, oh, okay, did you just step over a homeless guy to get yourself a $5 cup of coffee? That's really nice. That's lovely. Oh, are you in here again? Weren't you just in here yesterday?
Oh, my God.
Aren't you a struggling artist? What is wrong with you?
Right.
And I feel like the baristas are like, shouldn't we know your name by now? Ugh.
They never fucking write my name right.
My name is Cindy at Starbucks.
Oh, mine's Julie. I'm like, I'm not fucking Julie, okay? I can't stand when they write your fucking name wrong. And why does it take 45 minutes to get a fucking coffee when there's like 10 people behind the counter?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's like the one by our place. The one by the studio is fine. The one by our place. They are talking to each other while I'm telling the order.
There's no work ethic anymore. And there's no sense of urgency.
I know. Do you feel old when you say things like that? I feel old when I say things like that.
I am old. But yeah. I remember I loaded trucks. I was a toll collector. Like, these are the jobs I did.
I was a clown.
You were a clown.
I was a clown.
I was a toll collector on the New Jersey Turnpike.
I sold weed.
I don't know. I heard something about some illegal.
We have a drug dealer next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Really? That's terrible.
I've been a barista. Yeah, I was in college. My second day, it was at this place, Karen's on Astor. They made like, you know, it was a quote, organic deli.
Uh-huh.
And the second day there, somebody found a cockroach in the chili.
No. Oh,
okay, here's
on.
My other thing about continuing on the kill me now thing. I know people are vegan and vegetarian and
gluten-free
and no nuts and lactose intolerant. You know, don't ruin my dinner party. You know what I mean? I don't want my dinner party ruined. Okay. If you're going to be vegan, it's like fine, but I don't know how to cook vegan. I don't have time to be vegan. And you're going to have to bring your own fucking food.
We have a friend, Emmy, who changes her diet pretty much every time we see her because she's allergic to like a new thing or she discovered this clears her face and whatever. She's our best friend. But the last time we invited people over, she said, what can I bring? And I just said, bring whatever the fuck you're going to eat.
Right.
Because I have no goddamn idea.
I know. I can't. And then, you know, like.
And look, also, when you're vegan, sometimes you're not invited because I'm making lasagna.
Right.
That used to be vegan is a new vegetarian.
I have to say about the vegan thing, like that is a lifestyle, a life choice.
That's a life choice. If my mother didn't like it, I would agree.
Okay. So, but that is something like you can't go out to rest. First of all, right. We talked to my mother, 92, right? 92 eating meat. She's a, you know, carnivore bread, you know,
hunk of cheese.
Yeah. She loves the cheese, but
she could still eat cheese.
Oh my God, she eats cheese all the time. Why?
Because cheese is destroying everyone's insides except your mother.
I eat cheese.
Do you know the allergy medicine companies are making a killing because cheese is killing the whole world except for the gold.
I'm fucking sick of this shit with everyone's. My mother's 92.
How's
perfectly healthy. She's 92. No, she's never had surgery. She has all her teeth and perfect eyesight.
I just dropped dead. What?
Kill
me now. What?
I mean, she can't walk because she should have had her knees done. But yeah, she's never had surgery ever.
And she's still sassy as all shit.
And she has all her teeth. And she doesn't wear glasses. And I fucking have two implants. Okay. Elise's grandmother died at 96, smoked like two packs a day.
She also Ashkenazi?
Yep.
What the hell?
Russian Jew. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. We you know, it's genetics. It's all genetics. I know a lot of people are vegan and God bless them and organic and blah, blah, blah. I have a friend who's like vegetarian and hasn't had a mammogram and is in her 40s because she doesn't want
the bad news.
No, she doesn't want the radiation in her body. I'm like, oh, okay, no problem.
Is she a Scientologist?
No, she's no, but, just like,
but
yeah.
She's going to end up having way more radiation in her body if she doesn't take a little bit of it.
It's just like, it's so, there's so many hypocritical things. And I, you know, look, God, I don't judge. All right, I'm judging a little bit. But
the whole show is called Judge Me Now.
Yeah, we can be. Yeah. But basically, it's like
Judge Judy. Oh my God.
So
that was my fault, everybody.
So yeah, I just it really, you know, that whole like, but here's the other part. This is the other half of the vegetarian, vegan, kill me now section is the, oh, I, you know, like that whole, we're not judgmental, but you know, they're like, oh no, I'm vegan. Like, I'm so much better than you. I have so much more self-control and no, I don't eat that. And like, there's two guys in the band of my show who are vegan. And all I go, I just walk in every night and I'm like, oh God, you guys have some filet mignon. It's so good. But one of them eats Skittles the whole show. I'm like, you won't have a steak, but you'll eat fucking Skittles?
Taste the rainbow.
For a while, we had one of those old TVs. Like, I hadn't bought a TV in 20 years, and then they switched it over, and you had to have a flat screen. And I just wasn't in the mood to go out and buy a flat screen, whatever it was. And people would be like, did you see this show? Did you see that show? And I always paused because I didn't want to go, oh, I don't have a TV, because I was afraid to get that
response.
You don't have a TV? Oh, do you read like all the time? Oh my God. I was just like, oh no, we're just in between TVs right now. We're just, you know, we're shopping around, you know, we're just we're consumers.
Yeah. I don't own a TV, but I just watch fucking Hulu and Netflix all the time.
Right. You have a computer,
and HBO Go. I'm always watching TV.
My kids never watch shit on television. Yeah. Like Ben has the screen for his Xbox or PS4 or whatever the fuck he has. And now he gets,
that's how we watch TV.
Yeah. That's how he watches TV now.
Yeah. I watch just cause I don't own a TV, but God, do I watch it?
I have a friend I grew up with, Joe Purdy, who's a TV writer, no TV. He grew up without a TV, would go to the neighbors, and now he's a writer for television.
That's probably why he's a good writer.
Well, it doesn't mean that you don't know how to write a story and how to make things funny.
No, I'm just saying he writes for TV.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you take like on camera film classes, and they'll be like, well, you have to watch TV because this is what you're doing. You got to know what shows are on and all this shit. And I'm just like,
there's no path. You don't. Like, it's so funny. There's this set path. And then someone goes their own path and everyone's like, oh, that's the new path, you know?
Right.
It's like,
that's what technique is called. You find your own way.
Did you hear, like, it's so weird.
Sorry,
like,
boss, I'll fix that.
It's like someone else is here.
I opened that path for my younger, I have an older brother and a younger brother. My older brother was a little more conservative growing up. He was always reading like business books.
Right.
He's doing really great. My younger brother was a little more manic like me. Mm-hmm. And so I always wanted to go out. I essentially broke my parents a little. And by the time he was a teenager, they were like, I don't care where you're going anymore.
Plus he has a penis. So it's a whole different thing in a Jewish family with the wiener.
But I like that he thanks me to this day.
That's good. Yeah. So all right. Now, before we go, cause Lauren's giving me the fucking,
Lauren's giving me the fucking. Yeah.
Anyway, so
why would I think you would like that?
I have one last question. You pretty much were at the genesis of this podcast,
Ultimate Podcasting Guide.com.
And You really are one of the, would you say you are the, who else was out? What other podcasts were out before Keith and the Girl?
Most of them are gone. I think there's This Week in Tech was a huge one that I think is still around.
Okay. This Week in Tech. Okay. So now everyone, including myself, has a podcast.
Yes. Yeah. We just celebrated 10 years.
Which
is about how long podcasting has been around.
They were featured.
Mazel Tov! And you were on the Village Voice cover. Yeah. And you guys are pretty much, you know, everyone, when I say Keith and the girl, oh yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone knows. Wow.
That's exciting.
I remember the stickers around NYU.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So how does it feel? Like, I know I feel it because I was out, and then, like I was saying, how, like, you know, I was out, and then all of a sudden, you know, a big celebrity comes out, and it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. But they waited until they were, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How does it feel to be, to see all these, like, successful podcasts? People you've helped establish that you taught about podcasts. How does, like, do you have a good feeling about that? Do you have a...
If I said that I had 100% good feeling about that, you have to call me an asshole, right?
Asshole.
But I have a mostly good feeling about that because I still get respect from those people. And, you know, when you tell me things like, if you tell another comic, Keith and the girl, and they have a respectful response to it, then they're not just stepping on me to go to do their podcast. They, we are this thing together. Somebody had to start stand-up. Somebody had to start musicals. Right. Somebody had to start absolutely everything. And it's not like I started the medium. I was maybe one of the first people to make money on it, to make a living on it. I like it because when I used to tell people what I did for a living, they looked at me like I was, you know, in my mother's basement with some antenna on the roof, like reaching other nerds and stuff.
Right.
So now it's more popular. Ads get in touch with me, like sponsors get in touch with me because they recognize that podcasting is an actual thing.
Can you shun them over?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so I think it's really a lot of fun. So we've gotten to talk to, I don't think I would have gotten to meet Mara Wilson, or at least not.
I mean, Mara Wilson's awesome.
Yeah. And I, Thank you. I'm on your show now. Like that has to do with
But you were helpful. Like you and Orn were always like, do a podcast. And you know, like Jim Norton, a lot of people have told me to do a podcast. And then I was like, oh, everyone else. But it's like, I know mine's different than, because I'm different than everyone. So.
Exactly. I think we do something different, even though we do a comedy show and a lot of the stuff out there is comedy.
Right.
I think that this is incredible. There's room for absolutely everything.
That's
in
what
every
I
genre.
Say. And I tell these young comics, you know, everyone has their own path and everyone, there's room for everyone. And just because someone got a deal or is successful doesn't mean that you're not going to get one in a few. If you're in this for life, you know?
Yeah, you have no choice. This is what I'm going to be doing. If it's not this, it's some other artistic adventure.
You said, like, there's some podcasters who I don't even know where they are anymore. Yeah. There's comics from 30 years ago when I started that I don't, where the hell are they, you know?
If Hemda, sorry to interrupt.
No,
Hemda, you asked me the other day if I, like, had a quote, like, if I could give you a quote. And the truth is that I was thinking about this, and I feel like, I mean, being a former child actor, there's a lot of misinformation and bullshit about there. And people love to make up stories about me disappearing from film for this reason or that reason. And the thing is, though, that I feel like I've told people, look, if you want to get to know me, if you want to know what I'm actually like, listen to my Keith and the Girl interviews.
Right.
Because
that is
who I am. Mm-hmm. And I feel free to be myself. And I feel like, I mean, I feel that way on, you know, Judy's podcast, too. Like, you listen there.
Yes.
That's, you know, because it's an interview, but it's none of the regular interview bullshit. It's honest. It's open. And
it's conversation.
It's conversation. No, and it's feel so comfortable with it.
Right.
You know, there are some, I've done interviews before where I'm like, stop fucking digging, man.
They have an agenda. You know, I don't have an agenda.
Totally.
I mean, I do want to talk about what pisses people off because I'm always pissed off. But, you know, I don't, you know, I really am interested in a human being, not like, oh my God, but you, oh my God, and then you did that. And then
that's
you did that.
That's what's so fun about this. We've done marathons that have lasted 76 hours and I'm excited the whole time. Just like, who's my next friend coming on and we can talk. And I would not be able to
speak. I know I've disappointed you on the marathon days.
It's not gimmicky.
There was a snowstorm.
Like so many.
Right. And so I'm committing to the next marathon.
So many podcasts are gimmicky.
You heard it here first, folks.
You know?
Yeah.
It's honest.
Thank you. This is huge. I learned.
And you can quote me on that.
That's what I'm going to use.
No, I mean.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
So
anyway.
I just, you know, I'm glad that doesn't piss you off.
It could piss other people off that I'm doing comedy without ever doing stand up. You know, that
who gives a shit?
I call myself.
You know how many people did stand up to not do stand up to get a job.
Absolutely.
I mean, people are like, oh, I can put 5 minutes together. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, here's my life and here it is. And get me a deal on a fair set. You know, that to me. Meanwhile, I'm sitting in fucking Dallas Buyers Club, shitty hotels, you know, writing jokes where when there was no internet and no phone and nothing. And yet they're like, here's 5 minutes. I'm going on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
I know that song.
Yeah.
You too.
Hi. I talked into my camera for 35 seconds and now I'm a star. I have 8 billion followers. I mean, like, I don't fucking understand it. I really don't get it.
So you're
okay? We got to do more YouTube videos.
All right. Listen. Annoying.
The look Judy gave him. The look you gave him.
He's so annoying. Kinda.
I know.
Do you get in fights?
Yeah.
A lot? Like,
I fucking love our fights because Lauren will let me go there and be like, no, I need to finish the sentence. I'm unhappy with you. And like, if you just let me tell you that I'm unhappy with you, I immediately get happy. I'm fine.
I keep her very
That's
happy.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we fight a lot, my partner, Elisa and I. And I don't want it anymore. You know, we have stupid fights and we're in their 50s. But we're both going through menopause.
I think there are waves in relationships. You have to see if you're on a wave.
Right.
Or if you crashed and what that means.
The good thing is we travel well together.
That's huge.
Like, that's big.
Huge.
We are great at traveling.
You know what? My ex and I were great at traveling. We only liked each other.
Don't you have to shut his mic off?
Here's the voice. Someone talked about their ex or something. I heard.
It was terrible.
Drug dealer next God. Door.
Oh, Jesus. It's funny that you still hear every word.
All right. Chemda, will you be on again?
I would love it.
Mara, you'll be on again.
Hell yeah.
This is a lot of fun.
Mara snuck on this one.
Thank you for letting me use the Keith and the Girl studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So where can people find Keith and the Girl?
KeithandtheGirl.com, on iTunes. We're Keith and the Girl. We're Keith and the Girl everything. Twitter,
okay.
Facebook.
Okay. And then what the other one is?
What's my name? But start with Keith and the Girl.
Keith and the Girl.
Yeah.
And then Twitter?
Keith and the Girl, or my name's Chemda. It's spelled Chemda.
Chem. D-A.
Yeah, bitches.
And Facecock? Are you on Facecock?
Yeah, /Chemda. Everything is all the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Chemda. Mara, are you on Facecock?
Yeah, Mara Wilson writes stuff on Facebook.
Oh.
I'm on the twat. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now my half Torah.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Hidshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Lehadlik. This is for the lights. Be'el Shabbat.
Bust.
Thank you all. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
This is Kill Me Now. Check me out at Judy Gold on Twitter, JEWDY, GOLD. And I'm on Facecock and I'm everywhere pretty much. Thank you to Chemda.
Thank you.
Mara Wilson.
Thank you.
Lauren. This has been Kill Me Now, number 4. Can you believe it? Number 4.
It's a nice round number.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.